Breaking news today on Jay Sekulow Live. The ACLJ representing the entire Republican congressional delegation. That's two U.S. senators and the House members in front of the South Carolina Supreme Court on behalf and fighting for school choice. The brief will be filed today. Plus, the RNC begins tonight.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So we have breaking news to report. You know, this battle for school choice, especially during this pandemic, you know, we're assisting over 1,800 families right now in 48 states plus the District of Columbia. We've told you about successes we've already had. We've told you about potential lawsuits that may be coming in those cases. That is all ongoing. And if you're one of those families that is facing significant hardship, remember, you can go to aclj.org/help. That's aclj.org/help. But, Dad, we are about to file, and this is before the South Carolina Supreme Court. This is an ACLJ filing on behalf of our attorneys. I know my name is on there, your name is on there, and others from the American Center for Law and Justice. We are representing, and what's unique here is that we are representing all Republican members of the South Carolina congressional delegation. So the two Democrats would not join on to this because this is a teachers union-backed lawsuit. So who do we represent? We represent Senator Lindsey Graham. We represent U.S. Senator Tim Scott, U.S. Representative Jeff Duncan, Congressman Joe Wilson, Congressman Norman, Congressman Timmons, Congressman Tom Rice, and, of course, on behalf of the ACLJ.
Yeah, and the important part here is that the legislation that the governor has, which is called the GEAR Act, which is Governor's Emergency Education Relief, is used to benefit students, which we've argued from the outset of this when we started doing these school cases, knowing that we're in the middle of this pandemic, that we really needed to get help to students. Our argument was that it had to be student-focused, and that's exactly what the GEAR Act does. On top of that, the Supreme Court has just ruled that when it comes to the school choice options, excluding religious schools would be a form, or private schools would be a form of discrimination. So the governor had the clear authority. It was congressional intent. And now it's before the South Carolina Supreme Court, where we're representing, as Jordan just said, the delegation from South Carolina that is trying to get benefits to the students. It is clear, we say, that Congress intended the governor's emergency education relief fund to benefit students choosing independent schools. Again, it is the students that are the focus of this, and that's why your support of the ACLJ has allowed us to do that. That brief is going to be filed this afternoon, right now. We're doing one last edit.
Right. That's right. We will have that blog up as well at aclj.org with a link to that brief. And coming up next, Congressman Jeff Duncan from South Carolina, he helped put this delegation together. We worked with him. He contacted us, the ACLJ, said we want you to represent us as the congressional delegation. So he really was key in getting together the two U.S. senators, Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott, as well as him and the additional members of Congress. It's everybody at the federal level in South Carolina except for, unfortunately, those two Democrats who are against this school choice expansion because of the teachers' unions. Yep. Don't like it. And again, we would have been happy to represent all of the delegation, but this is significant. It just tells you about the work that the ACLJ. Yep. I know we're going to get to talk to Congressman Duncan in a second, but as we're in a matching challenge month, this just shows you, I mean, an entire Republican congressional delegation from a state saying, we want you writing our brief before the Supreme Court of our state.
This is obviously a huge situation because it's before the highest court in the state. It'll have ramifications for other states, and our goal, when the pandemic hit and school was returning, or in some cases not returning, our goal was to help parents, to help the students. And as Jordan said, 1,800 of them, 1,800 families have contacted us. We've already gotten great results. Parents that didn't have computers now have computers. Parents that did not have access to special needs availability now do. And now we're fighting for the students for the entire state of South Carolina. Go to aclj.org, join a matching challenge. Any amount you match, you give, we get a match for. ACLJ.org. Do it today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. Well, it's great to be joined right now by someone who was critical in our effort to put together this brief. He helped work with us to put together not just him to join the brief in support of South Carolina's governor's decision to expand the voucher program there during the pandemic when he received CARE funds, and to use some of those funds were allocated to the governor specifically. He wanted to then use some of those funds for vouchers. Congressman Jeff Duncan said, you know what, I want to file, it's because this got challenged by the teachers union, school, the public school unions against the governor. I want to file a brief, but I don't want to do it just with me. I'm going to put together the entire congressional delegation from South Carolina, every Republican. Unfortunately, you know, the two Democrats in South Carolina at the House level would not join. Would have been great if they did for school choice, because this shouldn't be so partisan an issue during a pandemic. So Congressman Duncan was able to get together his five colleagues, plus the two U.S. senators from South Carolina, Tim Scott and Lindsey Graham. And Congressman Duncan joins us now. And first, let me just say, Congressman, thank you for putting together that delegation so we could represent all of you before South Carolina's highest court.
Well, Jay, thank you guys for being involved. And it's amazing that no Democrats will support this effort when, you know, it's really targeted. In order to be eligible for the SAFE grants that Governor McMaster put forward, a student must be from a household with an adjusted gross income of 300% or less of the federal poverty level. And we're talking about kids that currently don't have any ability to make a choice, because probably they don't have the income ability within the household to send a child to private school, parochial school, or whatnot. But this, the SAFE grants will give them an avenue, especially when we see what's going on with K-12 public schools, the government schools wanting to shut down, go to e-learning, go to more virtual schools, virtual classrooms. And we need to get the kids back in the classrooms. And this is one way to approach giving these children and their parents a choice for their educational options.
You know, Congressman, I'm so encouraged by your support of this. We have been so concerned at the ACLJ as the situation with COVID-19 has impacted schools in South Carolina and, frankly, schools across the country, that we needed to be innovative, and that governors and school superintendents needed to be innovative in their approach. And especially, as you just said, innovative in their approach as to families that are not of the economic means to provide alternatives. And that's exactly what has been done here. What I'm so encouraged about is that the legislation that passed Congress over the years has always been, and especially the most recent ones, the CARES Act, have always focused on the students, and that's really who the beneficiary here of this allocation is. It's the students, and that's what's so ironic that the teachers' unions and those on the left would be fighting against, really, Congressman, the students here.
Yeah, I mean, every student learns differently. We all know that, and Governor McMaster is ensuring that every student has now the opportunity to grow and develop in a way that best suits them and their families. But you know what? What we see is a continual blocking of these funds and school choice efforts by progressive Democrats, and in this case, acting contrary to the law, because the CARES Act allowed the governor in each state to have an opportunity to spend this money how they want to, and Governor McMaster decided to put some of it, $32 million, towards school choice when public education got almost $1 billion. But yet they're going to scream about $32 million.
You know, Congressman, I look at this, and again, I encourage you folks, follow Congressman Duncan. I just retweeted him, so you can follow him on Twitter easily that way, because he's really leading a major effort here for school choice. And I see, Congressman, you know, the plaintiffs, the ones we're fighting against, they say, oh, well, the governor's usage of these funds, it violates a South Carolina constitutional provision that says no money shall be paid from public funds of the state or any of its political subdivisions to be used for the direct benefit of any religious or private educational institution. But here, Congressman, the funds are not direct benefit to the private schools if the parents choose to use it for a religious private school or a different or a secular private school or a different public school or charter school. The funds are used by the parents. South Carolina is making the funds available for the parents to make the choice. It's not South Carolina saying, hey, we want to fund only religious schools. That's not what's happening here. And yet we see how opposed these teachers' unions are. They want to stop kids from getting a better learning, a chance at better learning during this tough time.
Yeah, I mean, we fought it for years. I remember in 2002 when I was first elected to the State General Assembly, same year Mark Sanford was elected governor of South Carolina. And he and I and many, many others fought for school choice from 2002 forward. And we're fighting the same battles today against the same people, like Senator Hutto and others that have filed this injunction. And so we're going to continue to see them try to have a one-size-fits-all model to force every student to go into the government school so they can indoctrinate them in whatever they want to, when, you know, every child learns differently. And there are parents across the state that have economic ability to make the choice for their children, but there are too many parents across South Carolina that cannot make a choice to get their child out of a peer pressure for drugs, sex, alcohol, whatever, get into a better learning environment where they can learn the skills that are necessary for their future. That's what parents want to do. They want to have a choice for their children. This particular issue, the SAFE grant program by McMaster, gives them a choice at this time, especially when the choices are more and more limited because of COVID.
You know, Congressman Duncan, this is Jordan Seculo. We just had a comment come in through our Facebook page because we also broadcast this on Facebook live with video. And as we're talking to you, Linda, who is a South Carolina a constituent of yours, said that you specifically, Congressman, are telling us more about what's going on in our state on this broadcast than the local news does. Thank you for caring about us, Congressman, and ACLJ. Again, Congressman, I believe that by this filing, where it's the entire Republican delegation, there will be more news about this for people in South Carolina, and because parents are just hurting out there and want to know what options are available, and they've got, you know, there's injunctions on this right now. That's what we're fighting against, so that this money gets freed up, and people like Linda, who are so happy to hear that we're even fighting this battle, that you're fighting this battle, are able to utilize those funds.
Well, Jordan, I appreciate you guys and ACLJ for being a part of this amicus brief and going to court with this because, the amicus brief is going to be filed later today. I don't know when the arguments are going to happen in court, but this was a progressive senator, Brad Hutto, filing the injunction down there in Orangeburg County to try to stop the governor from using his discretion, which these funds in the GEAR part of the CARES Act allowed the governors to have discretion to best meet the needs of its constituents, and that's what McMaster's doing. And don't the folks like Linda don't need to be hoodwinked by the public educators. They got almost $1 billion for public education, and Governor McMaster use discretionary funds under GEAR, the governor's discretion in this, $32 million that he is putting forth that parents can tap into for $6,500, up to $6,500 for a grant for their children.
You know, one of the things I was thinking, Congressman, is that as this pandemic unfolds, the ability to be flexible, and you certainly and your colleagues in Congress have been flexible in trying to get help to the parents to help their kids. Again, the primary focus here, of course, is protecting the kids, getting the best education for the kids. What is your sense right now, kind of in Congress, as this unfolds, and we may need more action, where do you see it? Is it going to just be party lines here?
Yeah, that's pretty much party lines. The Democrats are want to give money, what, $28 billion to the post office that said they didn't need it. They had a $15 billion cash surplus. They're solvent until August. Democrats want to give money for the unions and mail-in voting. We continue to see the partisan politics in Washington, and it's all about the White House. It's all about the presidency. If President Trump talks about school choice, they're going to be against it. And it's unfortunate where we are. Hopefully November 3rd will take care of a lot of this when we get back to work, maybe with a House majority of Republicans and a Republican Senate, Republican president. We can focus on things like school choice and giving more parents across the nation options in educating their children.
I appreciate it, Congressman Duncan. Thank you for taking time to be with us, but also thank you for your support of this important brief that is now going in today to the South Carolina Supreme Court. For those of you that are watching the broadcast now, let me tell you something. I'm going to turn it to Jordan in a moment here. But we are in the final week of our matching challenge campaign, and we're doing great, but we want to continue this momentum. We are helping 1,800 families currently right now, at least either giving them representation, sometimes just walking them through what they need to be asking for, and other times we're sending out legal communication correspondence to get computers. We have obtained computers and broadband access for those that did not have it, special needs kids getting extra help. This may be an ongoing battle because of the nature of this pandemic. Now we're at the South Carolina Supreme Court helping middle-income parents, low-income parents to provide educational opportunities for their kids so they're not taken out of those options.
Why would these members of Congress, why would the entire Republican delegation, two U.S. senators, five members of the House, come to the ACLJ to write their brief? Because of our expertise. Why are we able to do this for them? Because of your support for the ACLJ. Donate today at ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. It's how we bring you this broadcast every day. It's how we're filing this lawsuit, amicus brief, in South Carolina's Supreme Court today on behalf of members of Congress. You're part of that because you enable us to do this work and be the experts. ACLJ.org. Donate today. Double the impact of your donation online.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekio Live. So again, that brief will be filed today before South Carolina Supreme Court. The ACLJ, because of all of you who donate to the ACLJ, was asked by the Congressman Duncan, who has just joined us, to represent all of the Republican members of the South Carolina delegation to the U.S. House and U.S. Senate. Both Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott are also on this. Unfortunately, the two Democrats, they get backed by teachers unions. They don't like school choice and vouchers programs, even during a pandemic when families are really hurting and trying to figure out the best economic options for their kids. So we're filing that, and we're able to do it because of your support for the ACLJ. We'll have later up on our website a blog kind of explaining exactly what the issue is in South Carolina and a link so you can actually see the brief. This is before it's even filed. I'm holding up in my hand who we represent. And it has all of the members listed there in South Carolina.
One little draft that I'm doing right now.
And then, of course, our names as well. But you can read through our brief at aclj.org.
And then Logan wanted us to make an announcement.
Yes, there is an announcement we want to make. So if you, again, if you're someone who listens on radio primarily because you're not able to, you know, maybe access Facebook or Periscope at the time we're live, which is noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time, we are now live broadcasting through our ACLJ app. So you can actually watch, not just listen, but watch the show on the ACLJ app. It's available on the App Store on iPhones and iOS devices. So check that out. Just go to, it's the ACLJ app. So if you've got it already on your phone, you'll now have the video live of our broadcast each day, noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, you can go back and watch later. But for those of you who are most of our audience is not able to watch on Facebook and Periscope, now you have another option while you're mobile to watch through your mobile device or through a tablet or even on your television if you'd like, because you can use those apps that way as well. So again, the ACLJ app, starting today with this broadcast, you are able to watch the live Jay Sekio Live broadcast, not just listen to it, but watch the live Jay Sekio Live broadcast. So and if you've never seen it before, folks, because you're primarily a radio listener or listen on Sirius XM, this is television quality. This is just as good as anything you're going to see in the cable news world every day. And we're totally live. This is not a scripted show. You know, when Jeff Duncan was on, the congressman, you know, wasn't like, this is what we're going to say, this is what we're going to do. The congressman joins us live. We're talking live issues, responding live to the news. But it's a cool way to watch as well. So check out, because, again, that's a big update to the ACLJ app, so available through the App Store. Of course, it's absolutely free for iPhones and iOS devices.
Yeah, so we encourage you to do that and utilize that new software and technology. Now, we gave extensive coverage to the DNC. We're going to do the same thing with the RNC. In fact, just moments ago, Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States, addressed the delegates in North Carolina. Take a listen.
But I heard you were all down here in Charlotte doing some business. The beginning of a great week for the Republican National Convention. But I got to be honest with you, I'm here for one reason and one reason only. And that is not just the Republican Party, but America needs 4 more years of President Donald Trump in the White House.
So you're going to see a very different theme over the next 4 days. Unlike what took place in the DNC, there are going to be some live events that are actually live. There's going to be events.
Almost all live.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll have some pre-recorded package things you have to do.
I'm sure videos.
Yeah, but it's going to be a live event. It's going to be, even the roll call has been live. Everybody's been tested for COVID. So if you didn't pass test, you had to send somebody else. They tested them again when they got there, so they're doing all the social distancing necessary. You're going to see the president addressing the RNC every day or every evening as he's flying to different locations. Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, is going to be addressing the crowd. Is it official yet, Will?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, it's from Israel.
Yes, he's in Israel right now,
so because of the UAE Israel deal. He's going to be addressing the crowd. I mean, it's really
addressing the country, really, yeah. From Israel, yeah. During the convention. So
some real excitement, I think, on this end.
I think it's going to be totally different than what you saw last week, which was just, and this is just an observation of optics, a snooze fest. That is not what you're going to get here. Even the liberals had to admit over the weekend that the ratings for this will be much higher. They may not get to the ratings of a traditional convention because that's very different, but they will be much higher than the ratings for the Democrat virtual convention because, one, some of the cable news outlets decided not even to cover it, and two, it started off very bad. This is not a political comment there. It's just visually, it was hard to watch. And it was very slow feeling, even though in prime time, they only get an hour of coverage for most of these. You get about an hour to an hour and a half in prime time. The RNC is scheduled to go. The Republican National Convention is scheduled to go, for your interest, so you know. It's Monday through Thursday, 8:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern time. And I will tell you, broadcast networks usually have been taking it at around 10 p.m. for the final hour or so. Or might be 9:30. I'm not sure. So it's a little different. So check your local broadcast out. But I'll tell you, if you got cable news, of course you can go to places like Fox News and others. It's being live streamed on the convention's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and pages, and it's even on Amazon Prime television. So you can check it out there. So you can watch the full. It's about 2.5 hours every Monday through Thursday. Let me tell you this. Dad, you talked about that at first. The president's going to speak every night of the four-day event. That's going to happen in the 10 p.m. Eastern time hour. Tonight's message is Land of Promise. That is the theme. And tonight's speakers are Senator Tim Scott, Republican Whip Steve Scalise, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Congressman Jim Jordan, the former ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, the RNC chair, Rhoda McDaniel, Georgia State Representative Vernon Jones, a Democrat, Amy Johnson Ford, a Virginia nurse practitioner, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Natalie Harp, a bone cancer survivor, Charlie Kirk, the president of Turning Point USA, Kim Clackick, nonprofit founder from Baltimore running for the U.S. House, Mark and Patricia McCloskey, the St. Louis, Missouri couple, as you know, when their house was being overrun, and then they were threatened with lawsuits because they brought weapons out of their private property as a mob was threatening to take over their house. They'll be speaking tonight. Sean Parnell, a military veteran and Pennsylvania congressional candidate. Andrew Pollack, an author and a father of a Douglas High School shooting victim. Donald Trump Jr. speaking tonight. And Tanya Weinreis, a Montana restaurateur. That is just night one. I will tell you, Dad, from that list alone,
that's like more, again, you vote for whoever you want to vote for, but I think the entertainment value and right. The information value is going to be a lot higher in this one.
And I know the production value is. So, I mean, I just think that even Democrats are going to be watching this one because I think they're going to be interested to know, one, what the messaging is, of course, but two, how much the RNC was able to see how bad the DNC was done and build on it. But there is an expectations game. Now, the bar is pretty low. So
yeah, but it still is
it's
an expectation
not hard to
game. Yeah,
beat that the bar as well.
Yeah, let me say this again because we're in the last ones. 8 days, 7 days of our 6 days left actually of our matching challenge campaign, and we don't talk about this again until November and December. So, folks, your support for this summer quarter is critical. Go to ACLJ.org if you're able. Only if you're able. ACLJ.org to participate in our matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we're taking your phone calls, too, and I'm interested to know this. Of course, we told you about the brief we'll be filing this afternoon on behalf of the South Carolina Republican Congressional Delegation to the U.S. House and Senate. That includes both senators and the five Republican members of the House of Representatives. Congressman Jeff Duncan joined us live. He put together that group for us so we could file that brief at the South Carolina Supreme Court so parents would have more options during this difficult time. But, of course, this was challenged by teachers unions. Why didn't we get the two House Democrats from South Carolina on our brief? Because you'd think they'd want to help kids out, right, during this pandemic, more access to education. Who donates to Democrat campaigns? Teachers unions. And if you'll see in the lawsuit.
It's a great brief, by the
way. And our amicus that we're filing. Who sued the governor? Well, there's some individuals, but then it's the South Carolina Education Association. That is the South Carolina Teachers Union.
Yeah, so great shock. So the teachers union looking out for the teachers union while the Congress and the governor are looking out for the students and the parents. Exactly.
Yeah, not kids. Yeah, but the government fighting back. Not just the state government officials, Government McMaster, we think, did a great job utilizing the funds this way, but now they're held up by these injunctions, so these members of Congress are stepping up, too, to assist as well. But I want to ask you this, 1-800-684-3110. What do you believe the Republicans need to do this week differently from what the Democrats did last week, not just to appeal to their own base, but you do need to encourage your own supporters, so that's part one. How will they make you more excited about the upcoming election? And two, and this is most important, what do they need to do to get people who really only vote in presidential elections, big elections, to get out and vote for them? What do you think they need to do? Can they do it virtually? Are they capable of doing it virtually? It's very interesting, I think, to get your thoughts on that, folks. Yeah. 1-800-684-3110, because I know you watched it last week and had your thoughts on that. So what do you think you'd like to see this week to accomplish those things? What would get you excited, and what do you think would draw the attention in of those who would usually watch conventions and they would vote in a presidential election? They may not be as engaged as you and I, but certainly they do watch, and this will be on broadcast TV. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
What's to me so fascinating about it is as I'm watching it, and we have different monitors in our studios here, it has more of a convention feel, more of a live feel, and I think that's what they're trying to create. But again, here's the media take. Was there a fact checker put in place for the DNC convention? Did CNN have their fact checkers out? Remember when Brian Stelter made that ridiculous statement about, oh, Fox, they're like the Trump network, and there's nobody doing that for the for Joe Biden. No one does that for Joe Biden. Take a listen to what he said on that.
Yeah, I don't want to claim it's new. I just am arguing that it's getting worse. It's getting more severe. Aaron, your view of this, you know, when you see entire media companies essentially exist to tear down Joe Biden, is there an equivalent to that on the left tearing down Trump?
There really isn't.
There really isn't? Well, let me play from you Brian Stelter from CNN. You don't think there's somebody there to try to tear down President Trump? Take a listen to this one.
The television networks are going to have interesting choices to make, interesting decisions to make about whether to cut away if there's this stream of disinformation happening live. Now, I can tell you, Daniel Dale, CNN's fact checker, he will be standing by. I think you will see him in prime time here on CNN providing fact checks when necessary.
Yeah, let me give you a fact check, at least according to our friend John Solomon from Just the News. Illegal immigrant that was hailed by the Democrats during DNC convention, and they talked about the family. It was a touching story about how the family had family members deported. They were deported, per John Solomon's reporting, under Bill Clinton. Did CNN fact check that? I don't think so. But we do here on Jay Sekulow Live. Your support of the ACLJ keeps us in court in South Carolina, defending parents and students, keeps us representing 1,800 families around the country needing assistance, allows us to go to court to defend life and to bring you this broadcast each and every day. We are in our final days of our matching challenge campaign. You go to ACLJ.org and any amount you donate, if you're able, is matched. ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Check this out, folks. Maybe we go to it live, actually. Yep. The President of the United States just walked out to the convention in Charlotte because he officially secured the nomination. It looks like he's going to make some remarks at the Republican convention in live. Charlotte. Take a listen. This is live.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oklahoma loves you, Mr.
Thank you very much. If you want to really drive him crazy, you say 12 more years.
12 more years!
Because
12 more years.
We caught them doing some really bad things in 2016. Let's see what happens. We caught them doing some really bad things. We have to be very careful because they're trying it again with this whole 80 million mail-in ballots that they're working on. Sending them out to people that didn't ask for them. They didn't ask, they just get them. And it's not fair, and it's not right, and it's not going to be possible to tabulate, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. We have to be very, very careful. And you have to watch, every one of you, you have to watch. Because bad things happened last time with the spying on our campaign, and that goes to Biden, and that goes to Obama. And we have to be very, very careful. We have to be very, very careful. And this time they're trying to do it with the whole post office scam. They'll blame it on the post office.
Yeah, the president's talking about the mail-in balloting.
This is unique already because, see, the Democrats did nothing like this. They stuck to the, of course, the typical, I think, of the left. Here's our 2 hours. We're going to be very rigid. We're going to pre-record everything because who knows what AOC will say. Who knows what this person, John Kasich, will say. And we're going to do all these pre-recorded videos. And really, it'll only be like the main speaker of the night and maybe one other person live. The president is going all around the country, and right now, just after being nominated officially at the Republican convention, where the small group of the delegates that have to be there are there in North Carolina, he's been officially nominated to be the Republican candidate again, and he walked right out on stage, and he's making a speech live right now. So the Democrats didn't do anything like this. So, see, this has already started. The Republican convention has started getting news coverage before, you know, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So, Dad, I think that's right there alone. It shows you how many more eyes are going to be on this. The president's speaking now. The president's going to be speaking later. So he's going to be addressing a little bit each day, and then a major speech on the final night.
I think whatever the DNC did, they're doing the opposite, and that's probably really smart, because I think what was the maximum number of views that the DNC got? Was it 36 million one night? Down 50%.
Yep.
And that was the final night. So, I mean, the viewership was way off.
Joe Biden read a teleprompter. I mean,
This is going to be certainly very, very, I don't think anybody will doubt. It's going to be interesting. That's for sure. I have no doubt it will be something you will all find very, very interesting. All right. Yep. We're taking your calls, taking your comments, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110.
Right to them. April in California, online one. April, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi. Good day to you both.
You too.
April.
Yes, I'm interested in seeing some appeal to the young voters today and stuff. Both my daughters are in their 20s, and they knew that Cardi B had interviewed Joe Biden, and they're very strong Republican Christian girls, and they found that to be very inappropriate. So we need to get some young people out there that are going to appeal to the young voters.
So Jordan knows tonight, a lot about this because he served
tonight,
as...
Can I just set
it up for a moment? So this is important for people to understand. Jordan actually served as the National Youth Director for President Bush's campaign in 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he knows how the youth vote works.
Yeah. I mean, I specifically focus on not just like the – usually when they say young voters, they mean up to 29 years old. But really my focus was 18 to 25 and, you know, some people still in college and maybe grad school. And really it's two things, making sure they're registered to vote – and getting those conservative students out to vote, not making them feel like, you know, it's somehow a bad thing that they're going to be shunned, because remember, they can cast their vote and it's totally private and no one has to know if they feel something, if they're not out there about, you know, who they, what their politics are, but encouraging, you know, people that if you have those beliefs and to also to appeal directly to them. So I'll tell you, on night one, so tonight, actually, interesting enough, you have Charlie Kirk. He leads the president is Turning Point USA. It's a young organization. They work a lot too with that Students for Trump organization, which is an outside the campaign organization. And Charlie Kirk, who you see on Fox News all the time, is young. He is going to be talking to that audience of young conservatives who to get them energized. So that's just on night one. Then I think you can go through the rest of the nights, and I think you will see that there will be people you'll be surprised about as well. There's always, by the way, we've got the list of speakers. Usually there's surprises as well in the midst of that. So don't think that this is just everything you're going to see. You're also going to see some videos as well. But I would just say, right on night one, the Republican convention is addressing your concern. And I do not believe you will see that goofy, like, Hollywood celebrity who are pretty
joking.
Great. And also just the types that are pretty provocative, if you will, with their music or what they're known for, as part of this.
And their tone was so inappropriate for a lot of this.
Right. And I think this is about appealing to the students who are really going to go out, and young people are really going to go out and vote. And to vote, of course, the purpose of these conventions are not just to get you to vote, but it's to get you to vote Republican. That's what the Republican convention is trying to do.
That's what the DNC was trying
to
do.
Right. They thought by having those individuals, that would help. So that kind of gives you a difference in how they judge what encourages their base voter. And the young voters, I will tell you, as someone who worked on one campaign full-time at the Bush campaign in 04 in that position, and then consulted another presidential campaign in 08 on that, they are the hardest voters to get out and vote. They're the best volunteers, but in big numbers, too many young people don't cast their votes, especially too many conservative young people. They feel like they'll somehow be ostracized. Remember, and if you've got, if you're young like that, or you have someone who, you know, like your son or daughter or grandchild, remind them they can vote for whoever they want for, and no one's gonna know, you know. So, and especially in this tense kind of weird time, if they feel like they want to vote, you know, this conservative or some other party, just tell them. They don't have to ever tell anybody. No one's ever gonna know. All that ever shows up is that they did vote. That's it. So again. And there's, of course, the young Republicans and college Republicans that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, Students Amy for Trump Johnson, who is a pro-life speaker, very popular with young people. She's, I think it's Students for Life, and she's speaking tonight, I believe, or slated to speak.
Yep.
And so they're doing it. I mean, they're doing the things you do to reach your base and to encourage people to look in and see if this is a viable alternative for them. I got to say that right now, as we're doing this analysis, we're also – go ahead.
I was going to say Nicholas Sandman, that Covington student, who the media went after and said like he was being a racist and all. Remember all that? And it was just him and that Native American man were actually trying to help settle down a dispute. And the media went after this kid. He's speaking tonight as well. So, I mean, he's speaking tomorrow night. So you're going to have young people really addressing the American people. And I think that just shows you – I worked for Bush, I went took a time of leave is what you have to do to work for the convention because it's a separate entity. And I ran the youth efforts for the convention. So what we did is because it is typical conventions, we had like a youth convention day where we brought in more young people than usually be able to come into the actual convention with all speakers that were young. We worked with like WWE. We worked with entertainers, sports figures, and actual students and young people as well. Because that doesn't exist this time, I think what's cool about this actually is that these young people are getting to be part of prime time. And I'll tell you, even some of these members of Congressman Elise Stefanik, a good friend of mine who's been on this broadcast from New York, she's, I think, 36 years old. So she's appealing to a different group of voters. That is still considered, the young voters.
40, really.
Yeah, and so not only is she female, Republican, conservative, elected official, but yeah, under 40 years old, and addressing the Republican National Convention, which means the nation, in prime time. They're not hiding these folks away. They're actually putting them forward. So I think that's great as a sign for what the Republican Party thinks is important.
I'll tell you the other thing that we need to be cognizant of while all this is going on and while we will give you full analysis, and this is the truth. We are also preparing a brief for the South Carolina Supreme Court to protect families and really the students of South Carolina so they have viable options with all the uncertainty that's out there. Congress has provided the money that's administered by the governor. The governor then administers it. And I'll tell you something, the reality is, and this is important for people to understand, the reality is that your support of the ACLJ brings you this broadcast every day, keeps those 1,800 families we're representing across the country and giving information to engaged, keeps that brief going to the Supreme Court of South Carolina, defends life, defends Israel and the international tribunals. All of it happens because of your support of the ACLJ. We are literally in our last days of our matching challenge campaign. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And Jordan, you're going to encourage people how to do it right now.
Yeah, again, folks, it's very simple. You go to ACLJ.org. You'll see matching challenge. Click there. A couple of minutes. It's safe and secure. You're doubling the impact of your donation to ACLJ. Think about what you've heard already today. We're representing the entire Republican South Carolina delegation, South Carolina Supreme Court on school choice. ACLJ.org. Donate.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
I'm going to make a little announcement. Yep. So the band, we've been having to do these things remote. Yep. Jordan knows he's hosted these concerts for us.
People saw that at the end of last month.
And there's going to be another one at the end of this month. So we've done, in each one of these, we're trying to do some new tunes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Yeah, we have to do it remotely still.
Are we getting new tunes this time?
You're getting two new tunes. Both great. Day After Day by Badfinger. And the other one is a tune by Cream called Badge. And they are both fantastic. They're not ready to be released yet. We just did a rough cut, and I'm actually cutting the drums on that officially tomorrow, but I've already done one.
And that's on the final day of the match. So
final day of the matching challenge. Right, so it'll be on the final day of the matching challenge. But we did do two songs for the last concert, Taking Care of Business, which I think is very appropriate when you look at the 1,800 cases we have, the brief going to the South Carolina Supreme Court, all the work that goes into producing this broadcast. In the middle of a pandemic, we are taking care of business. And we're going to play that for you at the end of this broadcast so you can see it. We haven't aired it before. We may air it a couple of times this week, but we're certainly going to air it today. And then we did the Monkees tune. I was a big Monkee fan, believe it or not. And they had a tune called I'm a Believer, and it came out great. They both did. One I play guitar, one I play drums. The two new ones that we've got coming out, playing drums, solo drums on both of those that coming up. But in Taking Care of Business, we did it as BTO did with the double drum kit. So it was a lot of fun. It was weird, I have to say, doing it in the sense that you're hearing your colleagues in a headset, your bandmates, and then you're trying to do it. But the video team and production team did a great job. And Mark Townsend, our musical director for J Secular Live and for the band, put it together. And it came out great. So we'll show that at the end. But let's go ahead and take these phone
Saturday,
calls.
Monday, evening of August 31st.
Right. Can you believe August is over?
Only a week.
You realize, folks, on Monday or on Wednesday, we are 8 weeks from an election.
Yeah. 8 weeks away.
Because it's early in November this year.
I mean, usually you've been inundated with the other big rally. If you were like the 15 top states, you're inundated with ads. But you've been inundated with campaign visits, not just from the principals like the president and vice president or those running to be president and vice president, but their surrogates, people, you know, top-level spokespeople. You know, you'd be inundated with that, and that's just not happening now. Now, what's interesting is that the Democrats have decided they're not going to do any traditional get-out-the-vote. They're not going to knock on any doors. They may still do, like, some phone calls and do virtual texting and things like that, but they're not going to do any of that making sure people get out to vote. And I think what Republicans are doing is say they're going to do a mix.
Yeah.
Understanding with COVID that you want to be responsible, you know, responsive to that, but that you don't just give up on your grassroots organizing, because some people really do need that kind of reminder. And you can
see that.
You know, you can knock on a door and step back 10 feet and still say, you know, as long as the neighborhood you're allowed to be in, and say, hey, we should remind you to vote.
But I mean, digitally is where it's going to be at. This is going to be the first primarily digital campaign in U.S. history.
But I do think I think the DNC having no traditional grassroots is like a mistake, because why not? Like, why would
I agree.
You know, they're so PC. I wonder if they lose votes by being so PC, unless they can steal votes through. I love how they want now where somebody can go and just pick up everybody's vote and drop it off. Don't you love that?
Yeah. Can you imagine the fraud in that potential?
And what stops it from, you know, if the ones
not even open, sealed,
I mean,
right?
So many. There's so many issues.
Well, we've got, by the way, lawyers that are there are lawyers that are handling election integrity issues on both sides. The Democrats have a battery of lawyers. Others have a battery of lawyers, and that's what you deal with, and that's what we're dealing with. So on that, let's go ahead and take calls.
Yeah, let's go to Laura in Kansas on line 3. Laura, welcome to J Secular Live.
Yeah, hi guys. What I would like to see at the RNC is for them to talk about objective content. Trump's record, it should speak for itself. And so I just want to hear policy. I want to hear a list of all the accomplishments over the last 4 years.
Okay. I mean, I think you'll hear, first of all, I don't know if you hear that in one night, but I think that when you go through the main list of speakers, you will. You're going to hear about the accomplishments. You combat the negative. So you'll hear three things. accomplishments. So what we've already done, you're going to hear this administration has done. You're going to hear future, what we're going to do in the future if you reelect us. And then three, we're going to make counterpoints, basically respond to, even though they already have in the sense through media, but at this larger level, respond to, and it won't be necessarily always directly. It's not always going to be like, Joe Biden said this about me. It's not that. That's the, more of like a debate setting. But they will be, I guarantee you, these speakers will be rebutting all of the attacks you heard last week. So three things. What we've accomplished, what we're going to accomplish in the future, and rebutting the attacks from and the lies from last week. And, of course, each night has a theme. So, each night is a theme. The first night is Land of Promise. The next night is Land of Opportunity. Day three is Land of Heroes. And then the final night, Land of Greatness, where President Trump formally accepts the GOP nomination and delivers the big speech. He's going to be speaking each night. He's even speaking right now because he just was nominated to be the GOP candidate for president. But he will be speaking each night for a few minutes, and then, of course, Thursday night, his big speech. But again, this goes for everybody out there. It's 8:30 to 11 p.m. Eastern time. If you want to see that full coverage, the broadcast stations aren't taking it that long. They didn't do it for the – so it's not like they're just doing that to Republicans, by the way. Democrats only got about an hour also.
Yep.
And not even all broadcast channels did it. So I think if you're interested, really, you do it through cable news. I know Fox News has said they'll cover it all. I don't know if CNN or MSNBC will. I doubt. I have some doubts about that. But you've also got it on C-SPAN, PBS, and it's live streamed on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and it's on Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime on your TV, you want to watch all 2.5 hours, just do that, and it's there, and you don't have to worry about anything, commercials or anything like that.
All right, let's go ahead and take the probably the last call.
Quickly. Yeah, Ann in New York on line one. Ann, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you. It sounds like a good agenda for the convention, but I'd like to say all of the DNC, the convention and the fake news is all negative, negative, hate, hate, hate.
Right.
And they portray Trump as hateful. So I think every speaker needs to just say one positive remark after another, after another, in between the facts. They just need to just slam with positive remarks. That will stay in people's brains. And secondly, with the young people, the ones in school, the ones in college, they're always told Trump is mean. I think Trump should not say too much to the truth. He shouldn't say too much of the truth about how bad Biden is. He should be careful. But
the thing he's going to have to do is draw the distinctives between where you stand and where your opponent stands. But you could do it in a certain way. And yes, I agree that it should be look at the accomplishments. I mean, look at the accomplishment last week, a peace deal, a trade deal between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. And it gets news for about 10 minutes. But again, that's the way it is. Hey, we got a little special bonus for you today because we haven't played a music a song in a long time after we go off air for radio. So if you're on Facebook, right now I'm going to ask you to do this. In about 15 seconds, share it with your friends. We're going to play because we are taking care of business at the ACLJ. We're going to play the Jay Sekulow Band version of Taking Care of Business. It's a lot of fun. It was done remotely. You'll enjoy it. And share it with your friends. But also, so we can continue to take care of business, support the work of the ACLJ.
Donate online today at aclj.org. A week left in our matching challenge month of August. Double the impact of your donation. It's how we bring you the broadcast, how we do all the work that we do. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.